Well, I will tell you it's time to silence your cell phones, and we're waiting on the organist, so I'm going to start with some announcements first. And I guess I can start by having Bill Stapleton come up and talk about crop walk. Oh.
I'll show you my grace. On April 28th, we are going to have the 50th annual crop walk. Debbie is in charge and leading us. And it's going to be at the Tate Pump House. Please gather any money, or if you want to sponsor someone who's walking, you can do that. If you want to join the First Christian Church walking team, you can do that. And all of this money goes to 25% goes to Food Bank of the Rockies and stays here. The other is going all over the world to help people with sanitation, to help them with their animals, to raise chickens and calves to feed their families. And there's these pamphlets out here that tells you the impact of what it's done so far. And really, it's helped out all over the world. So please join us if you can to walk, or please sponsor someone if you can't walk. Thank you.
Okay, and back to the start. If you'll silence your cell phones, and let's have some silence. Arlen will give us the prelude now. Thank you, Arlen. For announcements this week, you've got the blue form sheet that tells you what's coming up. We also have a Lenten sheet that I would like to highlight. Our Monday-Thursday service. For those of you that are interested, please make reservations because we need to know how much food to have. And it will be a cedar meal. There's also a donation form for Easter lilies for all that are interested in having a memorial or an honor for someone that they love. With this Easter week, celebrate Easter week, we're urging you to give this to a friend or someone you know and encourage them to come and join us. There are Holy Week services at First United Methodist. There will be a prayer vigil here on Saturday, April 20th. The annual Easter egg hunt here will also be on April 20th. There's a sunrise service at Three Crowns Golf Club. It's one my wife and I go to all the time, and it is a very nice service, and this year we ought to have the sun coming up. And on Easter Sunday, we will have an 8:15 chapel service and a 10:10 worship service. Now, if you would like to stand and greet those around you, and then we will have the opening hymn.
Good morning. St. Mark's was a little long today. St. Mark's was
a little long. I'm out of practice.
Thank you.
you will now join me in the call to worship. Come, seek the presence of the Lord. A rich feast awaits us, those who call upon the Lord.
God offers us love and life overflowing.
How we have thirsted for hope and peace.
How we have longed for joy and love.
God continually blesses and heals us.
Praise be this day for God's steadfast love.
Let us bow in prayer. All-knowing and all-caring God, we gather this day, drained by another week. We are like the parched desert, empty and in need of replenishment. Visit us with your presence, saturate us with your spirit, and bathe us in your streams of living water, that our lives might acknowledge and worship you to the praise and honor of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy Lord done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of prayer today is number 354. You'll find it in the Red Chalice Hymnal. Seek ye first. Based on Matthew 6:33, we'll sing both verses. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. I'm so sorry your sister's sick. Please tell her hi from us and tell her we missed her. We have a few more friends who are coming up today. We're going to stand around the table this morning. I have a few things for us to look at and talk about. You know, if you are looking for something, if you're having a hard time finding something, hi, Mackenzie, sometimes it helps to have the right equipment. Let's say you're looking for something that's far away, you might want a pair of binoculars so you can see people in the back row. Hi! Do you want to look? You can look through the binoculars and see who's far away. We'll pass those around, Carson. You want to look at the binoculars? You can take a look. And you know, what if you're looking for something in the dark?
you might need a light to help you if you're looking for something in the dark. So I brought a flashlight. I have a couple candles.
I have one of those.
You have a candle? You want to hold a candle for me? Let's see. Let's have a couple of people hold candles. Hadley, can you hold a little candle light for us? Here's a candle. And let's see. If we were really in the dark, you might want a flashlight. This is a teeny tiny flashlight, but it's really bright. Anybody want to see the little light? The button on the end turns it on and off, and I bet Levi is going to like this one. This is a bright light. If you push that button right there, it turns the light on and off. Bright light. You can push it again, turn it on and off. Just don't point it at your eyes because it's so bright. In fact, if it's really, really bright outside, you might need sunglasses. And if there's an eclipse, you might need special sunglasses. Yeah, Mackenzie, what do you think? You want special sunglasses? You can try on the eclipse glasses. Let's see. You want to try them on? There you go, Carson. Try on the glasses. Turn around and look at everybody. See if you can see them. Nope. They're so dark. What if you were looking for somebody underwater? You might need special glasses. Anybody want to try my swim goggles? Okay, Willow, try them on.
I have one.
You have swim goggles? It really helps if you're looking for something underwater. So we've got all this stuff here. We've got lights to see in the dark. We have special glasses if the sun's bright. We have binoculars to see far away. We have swim goggles. What if we're going to look for God? Would we need swim goggles if we were looking for God?
No.
No. If we go down and swim deep, God might be under the water. We might find God under the water. What if we're looking for God far away on a mountain? Would we need binoculars to find God?
Yes.
No, maybe. We're not sure.
He's
everywhere. So we can use all this stuff and look everywhere because God's way up high and God's down low and God's far away and God is really, really close. You know what? We don't even have to use our eyes at all to find God. Can you all close your eyes for just a minute? Just close your eyes. And we can find God even with our eyes closed because God is in our hearts. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that every place we look, high or low, near or far, we know, God, that you are there. We thank you, Jesus, for being in our hearts. Help us to see you every day. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Levi can keep the bright light if he wants. Thank you very much. Do you all want to keep your candles? You may keep them if you want.
Yeah, we do not need any more.
You don't need any more candles. You have candles at your house. Well, you all can head to worship and wonder in Sunday school today and have a wonderful time.
I have one of these, but mine ran out of
battery. Okay, well, you can take that one because it has a good battery. You can give it to your sister if you want. Tell her we missed her. Okay.
I'm going to bring this with me.
Okay, that's okay. As our children make their way out of the sanctuary for worship and wonder, I draw your attention to the back of the bulletin where we have prayer concerns listed. In the pew rack in front of you, you'll find prayer cards that have a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank for you to write a message to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. Normally, we place these cards in the offering tray, and then the church office sends them to someone in the congregation who's in need of prayer. This morning, your challenge is a little bit different. I want you to pray for someone you know that you will invite to church on Easter Sunday. Write a prayer card to someone whom you know who doesn't have a church home, who doesn't have plans for Easter. And then take that prayer card and give it to them personally, along with a schedule of Easter events that you'll find in the bulletin, and invite them to come with you to any event during Holy Week, our Palm Sunday service next Sunday, our Maundy Thursday dinner. You can sign up yourself and a guest, or any of the services on Easter Sunday. So this morning, you're encouraged to pray for someone that you will invite to worship this Easter. We continue to pray for those who are living with cancer. We have a joy to share. Rick and his wife Terry recently visited Dave Baker in Washington State. He continues to go through chemotherapy. He received a prayer blanket from the congregation. And we're very thankful that Dave and Terry drove all the way to Washington just to give him a blanket. I mean, to visit him and took a blanket along. I think it is the farthest we've ever had a personal delivery of a prayer blanket or a prayer shawl. And Misty, Dave's wife, posted on Facebook a picture of him wrapped up in that prayer blanket with a wonderful smile on his face. And he gives his thanks to the congregation, to those who helped make the blankets, and to all of you for your prayers. We want to continue to pray for Paul Smith's wife, Melanie, as she has up and down days. We have a joy to share of sorts, a resurrection story, if you will. At a Wednesday Vesper service recently, Tom May shared a concern for a relative of his, young Madison. And the room was full, it was hard to hear, and some of us thought that Tom said she had committed suicide. The good news is that Madison is still with us, and Madison is alive, and we are very thankful for that. The hard news is that she did attempt to kill herself, and so she's now receiving medical health treatment. We want to pray for Madison, for Tom, for all of their May family. A related concern within our own community, on Friday, a student at Casper College, at Casper Classical Academy, at CCA, did commit suicide. A junior high student took their own life here in Casper on Friday. And so I urge you to please pray for all the students and faculty at CCA. I urge you to pray for that student's family and friends. It is a hard loss when one so young is filled with despair. So please pray for our community that students will be kind and supportive of one another no matter what they're facing in life, and that our community as a whole will heal from this grief and find ways to prevent future tragedies. We pray for our senior members, for those who live out of state and those who are nearby but unable to be in worship. This morning, it's a joy to have Jean Johnson visiting us in from the ranch with her friend Ron, who drove her into town today. It's a blessing to see Jean in worship this morning. Our community and world concerns include Anne Gregory, who serves as a missionary in Thailand. We want to pray for her and the work that she does. And our regional prayer partners are the members of First Christian Church in Salida, Colorado. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you can sign and send greetings. Are there other concerns today or joys that we want to share this morning? Paul. Prayers for Wanda as she struggles with pneumonia and a foot infection and is at the hospital. Tom.
Well, June, is, I think, the 21st or 22nd. Big suicide for the PBA Boulder's tournament coming up. I'll be one of them going there to play in the fall, the whole place. So I got a lot of tournaments coming up. So I'm back on my feet where I used to be. I was struggling all year. I'm back where I was. So.
We're glad that Tom is doing well again. He had some health issues, and he's back to bowling. Prayers for him as he goes to PBA tournaments. Keith.
A gentleman by the name of Scott came into the sandwich ministry yesterday, and he wasn't really looking for a sandwich more than he was looking for prayers. His mom, Martha Jackson, had a seizure, fell down some stairs, and had a serious head wound. And the problem is with her son, Scott, he's not able to go to Torrington to visit with her. so he asked Debbie and I to pray for him yesterday. But just keep her in her prayers, because he was pretty distressed about it yesterday. So.
Prayers for Scott, who came to the Sandwich Ministry, asking for others to pray for his mom, Martha Jackson, who lives in Torrington, who fell down the stairs and is having injuries because of that. Pam. It's a delight to be able to see a little one's smile restored. Thanks to God for a successful surgery for a grandson. Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to try to share through everybody's prayers. My wife is at 95% recovery from brain surgery and knee surgery.
We are so glad that Mary Oliver is doing well. Her recovery from brain surgery and her knee replacement is at 95%, which is miraculous. Praise the Lord for that healing. Wanda Gokernauer shared at chapel that she has a new granddaughter who was born on Friday. We rejoice with her at the arrival of Tinsley. Anyone else today? Let us hold all of these prayers in our hearts as we turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Bless us with your grace. O Holy One, we come to this place seeking your presence. We come, O Jesus, longing to find you in bread and cup, in the communion of saints, a community of friends where all are made welcome. We give thanks for friends who have been traveling or away ill who are back. And we pray for those who are not in worship this day. Loving and gracious God, for all the concerns we have named before you, we pray the blessing of your will in the measure you will give. We ask for the courage, O God, as Christians, to share the story of our faith with others. Each and every one of us, Lord, knows someone who would be blessed to know you. Help us to make that holy introduction this Easter, to invite someone to church, perhaps someone who has never been in worship anywhere before, or someone who has worshiped here and has been gone for a while. Oh God, we pray that you would put on our hearts, for each of us, the name of an individual or a family that we can reach out to share the good news of your resurrection. We thank you for resurrection stories around us in the beauty of spring and in the life of Madison May. Oh God, we pray that as she recovers from her suicide attempt, her healing won't be just physical, but emotional, mental, and spiritual. Oh God, we pray for Tom and his family that Madison would find the support she needs to be healthy and whole. Lord, we pray for students and teachers and staff at CCA. We pray a special blessing upon the family of a young one whose life ended far too soon. Oh God, for those who are grieving, who are angry, or who are shocked, may they be surrounded with supportive community, with wisdom, and with a ministry of presence. We pray, oh God, for all people who may feel unvalued or unloved. We pray for those who are lost or alone or hurting and have no idea where to turn. Oh God, we ask that you would use the church universal and this congregation, to reach out to people who are in need, that they might experience your love and your grace.
We join with Scott, who came to the Sandwich Ministry, to pray for his mother, Martha Jackson, as she recovers from a fall. Heal her injuries and bless her son with peace as he cares for her from a distance. We thank you, God, for the joy of a grandson's successful surgery and healing. We thank you for the birth of a granddaughter, Tinsley, for Mary Oliver's ongoing recovery that she is doing so well. God, we ask you to watch over Tom as he shares his love and gift of bowling. May he witness for you by the words that he speaks in kindness to others as he shares in a sport that he loves. Holy God, we pray for your healing presence to be with Wanda Hall and other patients at Wyoming Medical Center, to be with Melanie White and other residents at area nursing homes, to be with Dave Baker and others who are living with cancer. Oh God, we seek you in this place as we worship together. Help us also to seek you every day in the relationships of our lives. Bless Anne Gregory and the work she does as a missionary in Thailand and the members of First Christian Church in Salida, Colorado. O good and gracious God, as Holy Week draws near, may all who seek you find you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. What is the best dinner invitation you've ever received? Was it perhaps to a fancy banquet and came on engraved linen stock? Was it a handwritten note from a grandchild saying, "Grandma, I'm having a tea party, can you come?" What's the best invitation you've ever had to share a meal with a friend? Perhaps a quick last-minute phone call, "Hey, you want to go out for coffee?" Or a well-planned holiday dinner with extended family. This morning, you're about to receive another invitation. You are to receive an invitation from the one who carved the Grand Canyon, who created DNA, who cast the stars to the farthest reaches of the universe. This invitation comes to you from the one who knows the face of every child ever born and loves them all. The invitation comes to you from one who knows you. One who knows your strengths and your successes, and one who knows your failures and yet forgives them all. God, the creator of all that is, through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, invites us to come to a holy meal. The invitation is given to all who long to know God's love, to share in the bread and the cup. You are invited now. Our hymn of communion today is number 416, "Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face." We'll sing together as we prepare to share the Lord's Supper. Thank you. As we come to the table, we are reminded of the night that Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to each of us as a sign of his love for all the world. Jesus said to his friends, "This bread is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Eternal God, on some days it seems like you are so close to us that we could stretch out our hands and touch you. But there are long stretches on the journey of faith that appear when we can't seem to see your face or feel your guiding and upholding hand. Wherever we happen to be this morning, in the light and joy of that presence, or in the long shadows of your seeming absence or silence, bring us to this table to break this bread and drink from this cup in remembrance of Jesus, who in his hours on the cross felt abandoned, that he had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Yet also sensed that you were close enough for him to pray with his dying breath, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Be present with us and in us with your spirit, regardless of where we are or how we feel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
And now we come to the offering. And as Cynthia talked about, as God, the Creator, who gave us the Grand Canyon, gives us the stars, gives us the infinity that is out there, we also remember that during Holy Week, we need to remember that God also gave us Jesus. And Jesus gave us his life. Many people think of Lent as a somber time, a time to give up things, a time to be penitent, but maybe we should see it as a time to give our hearts, our lives, our gifts, our talents, in response to God's generosity to us in our lives. Let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and in praise. God of the cross, in losing our lives, we find them in you. In sharing our resources, we receive the blessings of your holy kingdom. We ask that you will use these gifts towards your work of peace, love, justice, and service in this world that we live in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
The scripture reading today is Psalm 42, and we will do it responsively, and it's on page 740 in the hymnal. And it's a response, and Arlen will play the response. As a deer longs for flowing streams,
so my soul.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. My tears have been my food day and night. These things I remember as I pour out my soul.
How I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God.
With glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving.
A multitude keeping festival.
Why are you downcast, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? My soul is cast down within me.
Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from the mountains of Zarah.
Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts.
All your waves and your billows have gone over me.
By day, you command your steadfast love, and at night, your song is with me. As the deer longs for the water brook, so my soul yearns for you, God. I say to God, my rock,
why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me?
As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?
Hope in God, whom I shall again praise, my help and my God.
As the deer longs for the water brook, so my soul yearns for you, God.
Thank you to the choir and to Charlotte for that beautiful music. What a wonderful gift that was. This morning's message is the last in our sermon series during the season of Lent, exploring spiritual disciplines. This morning, we reflect on seeking God. We've just heard the psalmist say, as a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. Throughout the Psalms, there are texts that speak of seeking God and passages that speak of how God seeks us. In Psalm 139, we read, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee your presence? If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you.
The night is as bright as the day. Darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. The Lord does indeed know our thoughts. The Lord knows our hearts. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we read, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord." So we are promised through the prophets that if we seek the Lord with all our heart, we will indeed find God. In Matthew 6, 33, after talking about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, Jesus said, "Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Today's New Testament text comes to us from Acts 17. It's a story that takes place in ancient Athens. Acts 17, beginning at verse 22, in your Pew Bible, New Testament, you'll find it on page 137. "Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, 'Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, "To an unknown God." What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, even as some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' At that point, Paul left them. But some of them joined him and became believers, including Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy Lord, we give thanks for the gift of your word this day and pray that we may be blessed with insights. We come eager to seek you with our whole heart. O Lord, fulfill your promise that when we seek you, we will find you. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts to be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The story of Acts 17 is an interesting one. Paul has been traveling with Silas and Timothy. In chapter 16, we read of a trip that they took to Thessalonica, and apparently there's been a bit of an uproar there. So now Paul and Silas and Timothy are laying low, if you will. As the story unfolds that we have heard, Paul is waiting for them in Athens. If you glance at Acts 17, verse 16, it says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So apparently, Silas and Timothy have agreed with Paul to meet in Athens to resume their travels, their preaching tour, teaching about the resurrection of Jesus. As Paul walks through this city, he is struck by how many idols there are around. Here, there's a stone carving where people worship Zeus. There is one to honor the god Mars. All of these false deities are displayed in the public square. But it is interesting that there is still one more statue not identified, a bare altar that says, to honor the unknown god. It's as if the Athenians are hedging their bets. They're really wanting to be a spiritual people. They're really wanting to worship and give thanks. They just don't quite know what they're doing. The Areopagus is a rocky outcropping. It's also the name shared by a council that met there. The elite Athenians, the intellectuals, the business leaders of the community would gather. It was close to the marketplace. Much happened. And in that day, part of the entertainment that people favored was listening to intellectual debate among scholars and philosophers. So Paul, a Roman by birth, joins in this discussion. He calls attention to himself by crying out in a loud voice, Athenians, and then offers them praise. I see you are a worshipful people, for you have all these markers displayed. He then goes on to challenge them, politely, respectfully, intellectually. He engages in debate with them to challenge their notion that they know who they're worshiping. Paul points out to them that no stone-carved image, no silver or gold-plated idol that is made by human hands is worthy of adoration by the human heart. The human heart longs to worship the one who made it, the one who created each of us, the one who created each of those Athenians, those ancient Greeks, is the God of the universe, the very one who formed the earth on which we stand and called forth all forms of life. God himself, who breathed the breath of life into the human form, is the one that Paul calls these strangers to worship and adore. It seems as if the debate is going well. They're hanging on his every word. They're intrigued that they knew they should worship something even beyond what they have named. For they themselves built this altar to an unknown god, and here, now, in their midst is someone who knows the unknown, someone who can speak to them of the mystery. And so the story unfolds. I'm sure that the text we have in Acts 17 is just a highlight, an excerpt of Paul's incredible preaching. He talks to them with passion and power about the God that they do not yet know, the one true God who is worthy of worship, who does not live in a carved stand, a false idol. They cling to his every word, and so Paul begins to speak about Jesus Christ, God's own son, telling the story of the Messiah who took on flesh, God born in human form. In every other religion in the history of humanity, people long to reach out to God. It is in the Christian faith uniquely that through Jesus, God reaches to humanity. God seeks us as much as we seek God. The Athenians cling to Paul's every word as he talks about Jesus, as he tells stories of the Messiah, until he gets to that challenging part where Paul explains that Jesus died on the cross to carry our sin, was placed in the tomb, and then was resurrected. This God of mystery, it seems, has gone too far. The intellectual Greeks just can't fathom someone who was truly dead is alive again. At that point, the debate is over. People scoff and leave. And yet, there are some who stay, who remain and follow and become Christians themselves. For they have heard and believed the good news. My friends, Easter is coming, and we are invited to reach out to those who are seeking good news in their lives today. All around us in the world now, there are still false idols. They're just not as obvious. They're not set up on a pillar carved in stone with a nameplate beneath. Worship the God of harvest here. Worship the God of abundance there. Worship the goddess of fertility here. Instead, they show up sometimes on our laptops or screens we hold in the palm of our hand. Sometimes our idols show up on TV programs or advertising. The world, as much as it did in Paul's day, still today, needs to hear of the hope of new life in Christ, the forgiveness of sin, and the miracle of the resurrection. My friends, I encourage each of us, between now and Easter and the next 2 weeks, to pray for someone you know who needs to hear the story of God's love made flesh in Jesus Christ. In a sense, this story about Paul, though, gives us an out. If you invite someone to church on Easter Sunday and they say, no thanks, it's okay. You have made the invitation. Even the Apostle Paul, one of the most eloquent theologians of all time, turned some people off when he talked about the resurrection. They just couldn't quite go there. So don't worry. If you're talking to someone who's just not convinced that Jesus is for real, that he really died on the cross, that he really rose from the grave, you can still love that person. You can still invite them to come and share in Christian community here. The spiritual discipline that we reflect on today is the discipline of seeking God. And a companion piece to that is seeking to reach others who are seeking God. Seeking to reach others who may not even know they are longing for the divine one, for God's love in their life, for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. In every human heart, there is a God-shaped hole, an imprint left there by the one who made us. That emptiness in the human heart, that longing, that ache, that sense that there is something more to life can only be filled by God. We try desperately to fill it with other things. Each of us might choose a different vice. Sweets and abundant, rich food, money and wealth, physical comfort, companionship, easy friendship, material wealth, success, education, prestige. We look for all kinds of things to satisfy that longing, give us a sense of purpose and identity. But that hole in the human heart left by God can only be filled by God. God's love comes to us in the form of Jesus and fills us to overflowing. In Psalm 42, we hear the psalmist speak of how his soul is thirsting for God like an animal longing for water, something so essential to life itself. The deer, the hind, the fawn seeks out a flowing stream so it might live. So too, the human heart seeks out the presence of God. When Paul was speaking to those Athenians, as recorded in the book of Acts, he knew that they were as thirsty as wild animals. They were longing for something to fill their souls. He quoted back to them one of their own poets, an ancient poem written by Aratus about 300 years before Christ in Macedonia, gave an opening invocation to Zeus. Paul took that line from that poem and applied it to God, the creator of the universe, the one true God and Father of Jesus. When Paul said, "It is in him, in whom we live and move and have our being." It is in God that we live. We think we live every day when we get out of bed and feed our bodies and do our work, but true life is only found in the presence of the divine. God, the one who made us, holds us every moment of every day. We live in the very presence of God. In him we live and move. Everything we do is done in the sight of God. There's no place we can go to flee away from God's presence, no matter how hard we try. The psalmist eloquently described, "If I flee to the farthest reaches of dawn, even there, God will find me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me," the psalmist reminds us that even the dark is not dark to God, for God's light extends everywhere. It is in God that we live. It is in God that we move. It is in God that we have our very being. We would not even exist if it were not for God, the one who carved the Grand Canyon, who invented human DNA, who forms every child ever born. It is in God that we live and move and have our being. So it's no wonder that we are called, drawn, that we find ourselves longing to seek the presence of God. Over the past several weeks, we've reflected together on numerous spiritual disciplines that we might practice during the season of Lent. Each of those spiritual disciplines in its own right is a way to seek the presence of God. If we choose to spend time fasting, whether that means we go for 12 or 24 or 36 hours with no food at all, or we give up a specific cherished favored food for the 40 days of Lent, or we take a fast from a habit that's destructive, when we practice sacrificially living without something that leads us away from God, we are actually seeking God. When we pray, it's pretty apparent that we're seeking the divine one. We're seeking the Holy One. Not just when we speak, but when we listen. When we take time to be still and know the presence of God. Every spiritual discipline we could possibly practice leads us closer to the Lord. Whether we practice the spiritual discipline of service through hands-on acts of charity, through advocacy or support, whether we practice the spiritual discipline of community, gathering together with other believers. Every spiritual discipline we take on is a way of seeking God. Do you hunger for the Divine One? Are you longing to know God? The good news from Scripture that we have heard this day is God has already found us. You may be in a moment or a season where God feels far away. Don't worry, He has not abandoned you. It is still in God that we live and move and have our being, even when we can't feel the presence of the Divine One. Even when we're overwhelmed with despair, God has not left us. Perhaps that's why this is identified as a spiritual discipline, because there are those times in life when it is not easy to find God. It's easier to find our own way in the world than God's way. It's easier to follow our own will than God's will. It's easier to make our own choices than to ask the Divine One, what should I do? Who should I become? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Hear again the promises shared with us already this day. From Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. When you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And from that conversation between Paul and the ancient Greeks, from one ancestor, God made all, so that we would search for God, perhaps grope for God, and find God. Indeed, He is not far from each one of us, for it is in God that we live and move and have our being. May it be so. Now and forevermore. Amen. In your hymnal on page 10, you will find a beautiful hymn that speaks of many of the names by which God is called throughout Scripture. I have to give a disclaimer. In more traditional churches during the season of Lent, you refrain from singing the word hallelujah. It's a way of saving up joy for Easter Sunday so that for 40 days the congregation has not sung or spoken that word of praise, and then on Easter Sunday it bursts forth. Yet Sundays are also many Easters. Even in the season of Lent, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. That promise that still baffles and yet brings hope. So it is that two of our hymns today include the word hallelujah. If you're incredibly traditional and have been offended, I apologize. But let us rejoice as we stand together and praise the Lord. Number 10, verses 1, 2, 3, and 6.
Thank you.
Following worship today, there's a time of fellowship waiting for us downstairs. There's coffee and refreshments. We hope that everyone will stay and visit with one another for a few moments before getting on with your day. If all hearts and minds are clear, will you pray with me? O Lord Jesus, we seek you every day with our whole heart. Help us to have open eyes, open minds, open hearts this week that we might find you. O Holy God, use us to help others who are seeking to know your love. Bless us now with peace as we go forth to live, to love, to serve in the name of Jesus. Amen.